your Lady's intercession to be close to us. Let's pray the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us
our sins, save us from the fires of hell.
Lead all souls
to heaven, especially those who most need thy mercy.
Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray, O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to them, Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling within him. The Lord led me on a journey when I was in a vulnerable place, and I shared with you about the death of my mother and how all that happened, leading me, through understanding the real presence, And there was a special grace that the Lord was able to give to me because I was in a position just to receive it, to be able to, you know, I mean, I think about our faith sometimes, and it's like there's just so much to it, and it's so vast, and yet it's so simple too. God is simple, right? God is love. And yet, when we think about, you know, the riches and the wealth and all that God provides for us, you know, we have to meditate upon it. We have to be able to reflect upon it because there's so much there. And if we actually could receive it into our mind and into our heart, it would change us, transform us. And we know we need to be transformed, right? We know that we're in need of conversion. So, but, you know, anyway, I was able to respond to my vocation, you know, back when all that happened. The Lord leads each one of us on a journey. But the Lord was not done with me back then, and he's not done with you. Because you see, there's yet another profound teaching of God's presence that he wishes to show us, the divine indwelling. And of course, you know, here I am, I studied the Dominican House of Studies, and it's like, we study St. Thomas, I studied this, you know? I understood, you know, I'm sure that we studied this when I was going through. It's just like, it did not hit me. It did not, you know, it wasn't until just recently, I mean, just, you know, maybe about after 10 years of priesthood that it actually kind of began to sink in. So, confession for me opened the door to Jesus' real presence. But for me, the presence of God was out there, right? And God is present out there in the Blessed Sacrament. But now I had kind of a second conversion, so to speak. You know, and I think that, you know, why do these things happen? The Lord humbles you, you know? And of course, I didn't have to tell anybody, but I am. I'm telling you, you know, there's a lot more to be had, right? And this is just scratching the surface of what God has got planned to show you and to help you to understand. So there's so much more that we have to learn, obviously. But for whatever reason, this didn't hit me until after 10 years as priest, you know? So Jesus tells us, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, so that anyone who eats it, he will live forever, right? The Eucharist. The Eucharist nourishes us for the sake of loving God who desires to live within us. That's what Father Moynihan says. He says that the Eucharist, the Eucharistic presence of Jesus, who received the Eucharist, it actually nourishes the real presence of God within our soul. So it helps us. And so Jesus tells us later, the kingdom of God is within you. And St. Paul tells us, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ within you, the hope of his glory, Colossians chapter 1. So what is the divine indwelling? The fathers of the church spoke about how each one of us has within us a kind of sanctuary. And they compare the soul to a church or to like a basilica. Some parts are concerned with secular things like the narthex, you know, the comings and the goings. Other things are concerned with more holy things like the body of the church, where y'all are sitting. Then there are some parts like the sanctuary that are concerned with the very worship of the living God. So our soul is something like a church with a beautiful sanctuary. And the Lord dwells there. And if you're in a state of grace, the Lord Jesus dwells in your soul by faith. You welcome him by faith. He lives there within you. And St. Paul says, the love of the Lord has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's why Jesus says, if you love my Father, we will come and make our dwelling place a home in you. It's the presence of God within you. So, my brothers, it's a most amazing teaching. In addition to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the living and true God dwells in your soul as a guest. It's an official teaching of the church that anyone baptized, living in a state of grace, has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit within his soul, within his spirit. The indwelling, Father Moynihan says, is a work of love, and we attribute God's special manifestations of love to that person, the Holy Spirit, who is the love of God personified. As John says in another translation, he will win my Father's love, and we will both come to him. First, there's the gift of love, and with that, the coming of the Father and the Son. And that means that everyone who's baptized, including people who are not Catholic, obviously, and in a state of grace, is something like a walking, talking tabernacle, right? So, now I don't know if we should be genuflecting to each other, right? But, but the presence of God is within each one of us. It's an amazing claim. So, you know, we have to think about that. I mean, do we actually accept that? Do we actually believe that? That God dwells within us. Amazingly enough, one of the situations that we've seen on college campuses, and I'm sure that you all have seen this, those of you who've come from college campuses, there's a poor self-worth that a lot of people have. Isn't that true? You know, it's somehow perhaps because of their families, people are wounded, the sense that they are precious in God's eyes, and made in the image and likeness of God, made to love and to be loved, right? This fundamental teaching of our faith, this reality evades them because of what they've gone through in their life. The early Christians, though, had a vivid sense of these promises, the fulfillment of these promises. When St. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Do you not understand that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit has his dwelling within you. If anyone desecrates the temple of God, God will bring him to ruin. It is a holy thing, this temple of God, which is nothing other than yourselves." And then later Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, "Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is within you?" And so I ask you, are you willing to turn inward to your interior depths and to tell the Lord Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are there. You know, yes, Heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you." You know, that's why I love that beautiful prayer of the children of Our Lady that she taught the children of Fatima. "Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly." You know, of course that's in the Eucharist, but to also adore the presence of God who dwells within us as well, right? God is within us. So do we believe and do we thank and do we acknowledge his presence within us? The living presence of the Blessed Trinity in the tabernacle of my heart is a permanent thing. As long as I remain in a state of grace, it does not depend on me to keep thinking about God in order for God's presence to be there. He's there. He's there. And even when we're not in a state of grace, God is still with us. The Lord never abandons us. In heaven, this presence of God will be fully shown to me when I see him face to face, you know, in the beatific vision. But here below, it remains a hidden presence. But God, he remains ready to talk to me, right? In fact, you know, if you've ever read any of these books about the real presence, they always talk about, you know, that Jesus waits for you in the real presence, and he does. He's always there, whether or not we're there, whether or not we acknowledge him. So he's also present in the tabernacle of our soul. He waits for us to speak to him. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Isn't it true that we often neglect this profound place where God dwells? When the Lord is there, we are called to be present to him as he is present to us. And this, my brothers, this happens even when we are not in church. This is page 33 from this little book here. This is Father Moynihan speaking about this. "There's a point, however, worth bearing in mind. If I personally fail to honor our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, he will not remain without honor there. Other faithful Catholics will give him the honor that is due to his presence, and so compensate to some extent for my negligence. But if I fail to honor the Son of God, as he is present with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the tabernacle of my own heart, no man can compensate for my indifference. The inner sanctuary of my own heart is utterly and eternally inaccessible to any except myself and God. And if I'm in a state of grace, God is really present there in the most profound silence and solitude. None but myself can hope to penetrate into that inmost sanctuary to do him honor and to hold converse with him. It is quite possible that, in fact, I've never really penetrated there. There are many people, dare we say most, who have never withdrawn themselves from the distractions of the senses to enter into that sacred shrine of the soul where they can be alone with God. And yet, without devotion to the real presence of God within our souls, there can be no full development of our spiritual life, which is essentially an interior life. Let it be plainly understood that we cannot return to God unless we first enter into ourselves. God is everywhere, but not everywhere to us. There is but one point in the universe where God communicates with us, and that is the center of our own soul. There he waits for us. There he meets us. There he speaks to us. To seek him, therefore, we must enter into our own interior. And that's by Archbishop Ulathor, whoever that is. But Moynihan is writing here, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So, you know, and the thing is that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I guess part of it was because when I was about you guys' age, I sort of encountered our Lord. I realized what I always had, namely that he's present in the Blessed Sacrament. And then, of course, I felt there was a little injustice, you know, from my part growing up. Because it was like, okay, if he's really present, then why does every Catholic church not have perpetual adoration? You know, that was where I was. I was like, why is this, you know? So, and you sort of put two and two together, and then but the reason that he's in the Blessed Sacrament, of course, is the fulfillment of his promise to us, right? That he will be with us until the end of the ages. But as Moynihan will talk about, we'll talk about this later too, that the presence of God in the Blessed Sacrament, and that it nourishes the realization of his presence within us. So it strengthens the presence of God within, a realization that he's with us. He's never abandoned us. So he's not just out there. He's not just in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, it's like everybody's searching for God, right? You know, you always hear everybody talking about, you know, the popular authors, they talk about searching for God. Many a Benedictine has written about searching for God, right? I mean, and of course, they have much more profound sense than I do, obviously. But the amazing thing, you know, is that he's not just out there. He's here with us. And he's very close to us. And we don't need to, you know, we simply need to turn inward, to speak to him, to talk to him, to talk to the persons of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus is present in the tabernacle. Anyone can adore him there. But in my soul, only I can honor and reverence the Lord in my soul. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be.